Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 169 of 60 Minutes With.
69?
169. 169 of 60 Minutes With. I'm Dave, and this is the return of the SOS shows. So, as you can hear, sat next to me, infinitely excited to be back recording these shows after, believe it or not, a 25-month break. It's Tina. Hello.
Hello.
It's taken me 25 months...
to get me in the bedroom.
to get enough gin down you to watch another film.
Am I slurring already? I am a bit...
No, we've only had one glass. We should start because it's been such, you know, a wait in case there's any new listeners and they're going, what the hell is an SOS show? It does have three meanings. One, the first, obviously, is it is an international cry for help, which Tina usually shouts out when watching one of the films from what she wrongly calls my shelves of shame.
Excuse me.
I need the third definition of it first. And it is when I pick a film from what she calls the shelves of shame, but are in fact the shelves of awesomeness. She says, oh, what are we going to watch now? Some old shit.
I don't ever recall calling them the shelves of shame. I do believe that I call them the shelves of shit.
I was trying to be polite.
All right.
But I guess that ain't going to happen, is it?
I apologise to America.
There we go. So we have just watched the trailer for They Call Her Cleopatra Wong.
I know why you picked this.
Because it's a female-fronted action film, I thought. Captain Marvel being out and all this kind of positive female influences, I thought, well, here's a film, positive female influence, Cleopatra Wong. What's wrong with that?
Why did you pick a film with Asian ladies and gentlemen in, though? Is it because of the incident in the lift in Florida?
No, it's not that the big-eyed incident that regular listeners may well remember. No, it's because, like I said, it's a female-fronted action film.
You know, the more I drink, the more difficult it is for me...
To talk,
and then, you know, occasionally my judgment slips and I may try to do accents that are unbecoming of ethnic minorities and I almost slip into some sort of, I don't know, 1970s fugue where I lose all self-control and become un-PC.
And that's why people listen to these SOS shows.
I think we should both apologise now.
In advance. If you're easily offended.
Please switch off now.
I think people know by episode 169, I think anybody that's easily offended has already unsubscribed from every episode we've ever done.
That's true.
So that's fine. I think we should also announce at the beginning, before too much gin is had while watching the film and talking about it later, the changes that are going to happen. We will, of course, not wait another 25 months before the next SOS show.
That's what you think.
Well, I would be happy if there was a 25-month wait because of the change that is going to happen. Would you like to explain what we've talked about and I reluctantly agreed to?
Reluctantly, yeah. Well, I don't think it's fair that I should suffer alone. So I suggested to Dave, well, it was more of a condition for us to carry on than a suggestion.
It was more of a demand.
More of a demand that if I have to watch one of his shit films...
Awesome films.
Then he should have to watch one of my awesome films.
So it's going to alternate between an incredible low-budget action film...
And
to some pretentious arty farty,
yes,
fingers up their own ass, shite film that you're going to pick.
And do you mean like maybe suffer? You know, Bertolucci or?
That's a good Italian chain. I like their food. Their spaghetti is especially good. I'd be happy to go there.
Or David Lynch, even, he's an auteur.
Wild at Heart's good. Elephant Man's good.
Yeah, well, I won't be picking those then.
Oh, God.
I'm sort of aiming for something foreign, possibly Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Something that will make me go, oh, oh, and you go,
oh, fucking hell. What are we watching this for?
Yes.
So, yeah, they're going to alternate between the two of us picking a film to make each other suffer.
Yes.
Yeah. So this show, we, like I said, we just watched the trailer for They Call Her Cleopatra Wong. What did you think of that? What do you think the film is going to give you when we watch it in a few minutes' time?
A headache.
Apart from a headache?
Constipation.
What did, I did like how it started with her answering the phone.
I like the way that the talking was coming out and her mouth wasn't synced to it.
And she did talk in a very clipped and
she was
British accent, rather yes. posh British yes. accent that she talked in.
Her eyes weren't very chinky.
You can't say that!
Straight away!
In the introduction, after not even one glass of gin. Well, actually, we should, if there's anybody out there, we should really get some manufacturer or distributor of gin to sponsor these shows.
Yes, please.
And we could drink it and talk about their product while we talk about
while
the
film. Could we talk about the gin more than the film?
For next episode, when I have to suffer one of your arty films, yes, that would be fine.
That's not fair. Yeah. No.
So, yeah, the trailer that the people are going to hear in a few minutes begins with Cleopatra answering the phone at 4 a.m. And a guy who we come to hear from the trailer is called Sims.
Yes. There's a lot of men called Sims in Hong Kong.
There seems to be a lot of shagging already going on.
Sorry, excuse me. It's not shagging. It's erotic stuff.
Erotic. There seems to be a lot of erotic stuff going on already. And especially a little bit of sexual tension between Sims and Cleopatra.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that Cleopatra and Sims are sort of going to get it together?
No.
No.
No, because he's obviously gay. Did you see those pyjamas?
That's a giveaway, is
that
it?
That bloke that he was in bed with at the end of the
that
trailer.
That sort of give it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a bit of a giveaway.
That was a man, wasn't
it? What did you think of, in the trailer, Cleopatra having not just a bow and arrow, but a bow and three arrows? And we watched Robin Hood Men in Tights not long ago for a review on the website of where he fires six arrows at once.
Yeah.
She fires three, but she fires three and blows up a helicopter.
Yeah. Did Mel Brooks direct it?
It could have been. No, if Mel Brooks directed this, there's going to
be Nazis
and a song and dance. In it.
I love it. Oh, I might like it if Mel Brooks.
There you go. So if you like this, we can shelve your idea about arty farty films and just concentrate on these awesome ones.
Seriously, though, watching that trailer, one film popped into my head.
Which was?
Samurai Cop.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, even though it's dubbed.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, it was something about her just reminded me of Matt Hannon's performance. Wooden.
Wooden. And in bed a lot.
In bed a lot.
But she doesn't wear black
speedos.
She
might do. She might.
Oh, maybe she does. Mm. We have that treat to come.
There's only one way to find out.
Yes, we shall go and have a look. And with that, we shall leave you, dear listeners, to listen to the trailer while we go and pour another large gin and watch They Call Her Cleopatra Wong.
Bong.
Bong. Bong Wong.
There's only one person in the world who phoned me at 4 a.m.
And in the middle of something erotic, I'm sure.
Every time Sims calls me up at some unearthly hour of the night, I always end up with a big mission. Suppose I tell you that Interpol gave me the money to spend so that the syndicate behind the bogus money will capture me and bring me to their hideout. Will you believe me?
There is only one person in the world who knows where to phone me at this time of night, and that's Cleopatra Wong.
What did I do to deserve all this?
That's a good way to come back from the film. You slurping your gin.
I fucking need it. Got a biscuit as well.
Biscuits and gin, that's how bad it was
oh,
it?
Oh, God.
Well, thanks to the magic of editing, while the listeners were listening to the trailer for They Call Her Cleopatra Wong, we were watching the entire movie.
Suffering the entire debacle.
Cheering and a whooping through the entire running time.
Did you cheer once? Laugh? Yes. And we did a few high fives.
We did do some high fives because some things that we predicted at the beginning of this episode.
Like it being shit.
No.
I just need another drink.
About it being
cheers, everyone.
We will sort of come back to some stuff that we did predict at the beginning of the show. Yeah. Are you sure that huge glass of gin is going to last you long enough?
No, we might have to pause it and get a bit more.
We did watch it through the DVD from my Shelves of Awesomeness, as they are currently called. It was the DVD from Dark Sky Films. It's the special edition double feature DVD, which, as well as they call it, Cleopatra Wong, also features One-Armed Executioner, which could well be a future pick.
See that, right?
Yeah, you try to put that up my bottom. It does say on the back, when a ruthless gang of counterfeiters launches a plan to take over Asia...
Is it too soon to talk about Asia?
They cannot pronounce Asia in the film. Or is it...
What do you mean, sir? They can't pronounce...
We'll get on to accents, believe me. Have we been pronouncing Asia wrong all our lives? Years, yeah. Or is it really Asia?
It's Asia.
Okay. To take over Asia, Interpol's top agent, Cleopatra Wong... leaps into action, and she does, and we'll get into that, how high she can leap as well. A super spy and deadly mistress of martial arts, Cleopatra is as dangerous in the field as she is...
She literally is in a field as well, isn't she?
And she's dangerous in that field as well. As she is irresistible in the bedroom.
Did you find her irresistible?
It was that mole on her top
lip.
It was... I was just hoping it was going to move like the hump in Young Frankenstein. hot on the counterfeiter's trail, Cleo spies, fights, and loves her way. From Singapore to Hong Kong to the Philippines. Which it does. It does
go
through all those.
Which is under the umbrella of Asia.
Of Asia.
Yes.
The continent of Asia. The action is non-stop. Not quite the truth.
No.
And the danger fierce.
Fierce.
But when Cleo's on the job... nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It only takes one Wong to make things right.
Wong, 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 Wong.
There. So we've now watched the entire movie. And obviously you loved it, didn't you?
Yeah. It's got to be... I think the worst one I've ever seen is that one with Bret Michaels in. But normally when we do as an SOS show...
No.
You make me drink, don't you, say?
And an SOS show, a NOS show.
Which I've been drinking throughout the...
To get through it.
To get
just
through
think
it.
Of what I'm going to have to do when your arty-farty film.
All these shit films that you make me watch, I don't remember them.
Which
I don't
is
remember.
Why we drink gin while watching.
So is why... It's why you make me drink, isn't it? So I don't remember it and I collapse giggling when I think about certain parts of them. But this, I can't remember any of the films that we've watched. I couldn't tell you. If you offered me a million quid now to tell you the plot of one of the... I couldn't do it. And this film has to be, probably the new worst film ever.
You
made me what? It was dire. It was shit, Dave.
Don't believe her.
It was shit. I can't even see straight.
So
cheers.
It begins. It's an awesome montage. It's almost like a Rocky IV montage of her, Cleopatra
I. Hold on. It's almost Rocky-like, this montage.
Rocky IV.
So the... Okay, go on. Rocky IV. What is the montage? What happens in Rocky IV, the montage? And how long is that montage?
Which montage? Because the entire movie is a series of montages. Yeah.
Is this the Russian one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So go on then. Go on.
Yeah, but it shows
he's lifting
her.
Logs.
Yeah, no. But
he's chopping.
Yeah, exactly.
He's shagging Adrian. He's shagging Carl Weathers. Or is he dead?
I don't think he does either shagging in the montage.
Yeah, he does, because he's Rocky and he's awesome. Right, so he does all that, And it goes on for like 23 minutes, doesn't it? This montage is literally three things that she does.
It takes
2 seconds.
No, it doesn't.
2 seconds.
But it begins. So here we go. We said at the beginning of this episode, we talked about the trailer and things. Oh, we mentioned Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes. Okay?
So the first thing that happens is you see her wearing a Robin Hood-esque outfit with sort of the classic green sleeves.
You might think it was Robin Hood, but in 1978, that would have been the height of fashion. You could wear it during the day and be comfortable, and then wear it in the discotheque at night.
And everybody would say, hey...
Hey!
I'm really digging your Robin Hood look.
Hey, yes. And then they would sing Green Sleeves.
Yes,
her.
And so they should, because she had green sleeves.
Green
sleeves. So she's wearing this Robin Hood.
Green?
She's got... Oh, my God, settling, folks.
She had green sleeves. Green sleeves. La, 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 la.
She...
Cut!
Edit. So, there's going to be no edits in this show. They're going to get the whole raw experience.
What if I have wind?
Oh, my God. Well, then they'll hear me choking live on the show. She fires 2 arrows. And into
this the montage bit?
Yeah, this is how it
still
starts. This
okay.
is the entire beginning of the film.
Tina, Tina.
Tina, you've had too much to drink and you obviously don't remember the beginning of the film.
All right, you carry on. I'll eat a biscuit.
You eat your biscuit and drink your gin and I'll tell the listeners how the film begins. So it starts with Cleopatra Wong in this Robin Hood-esque outfit, of which there are some classic outfits throughout the entire movie. She fires 2 arrows at this, you know, I don't know. What do you call it that people fire arrows at?
I can't remember what she was firing.
She gets 2 bullseyes, and the first one hits the bullseye.
Oh,
the second one,
the second one
hits the arrow that hit the bullseye. Mm. Then it cuts to her firing a gun. Mm. Then it cuts to her doing martial arts against 4 men.
4 men.
So it's showing, you know, she can fire arrows, she can fire guns, she can do martial arts.
But she can't do knives.
Then
she can't do fucking knives.
Yes, but she can do disco dancing, because it then cuts to her disco dancing.
Oh, no, but was she doing disco dancing? She was not doing disco dancing. She was just sort of going, floaty, float.
But she was with an ASEAN man, because it's not Asian, remember? Mm. An ASEAN man wearing a white suit, because Saturday Night Fever was huge at the time.
Yes.
So that's how it all begins. Then it cuts to the bit in the trailer that we saw where she was shagging and she gets a phone call from Sims.
Hang on a minute. Let's talk about the shagging bit now. Right. Now, you're a man of experience, aren't you? Right. So let's not talk about me, because obviously I'm perfect, aren't I? Mm. You know, past wives you may have had, stroke, girlfriend, stroke. See what I did there? Yep. Stroke, girlfriend. Right. So when you were making sweet, passionate love to your exes.
Yes.
Did you just used to lie on top of them and go, and go, oh, oh, but not actually move or insert anything into anything?
And keep your dressing gown on, as all men do in the sex scenes in this movie as well.
Mm. She kept her pants on as well, if you remember.
In all the sex scenes, people do keep a lot of stuff on.
They do. But going back to you, have you ever, you know, sort of dry humped somebody?
Going, like that.
Was it Jermaine Gere called it the zipless fuck? Have you ever zipless fucked anybody? Well, which means you just keep perfectly still and just go, and then come. You can't just do that.
You mean you don't remember from what I did when we were watching the film?
No.
Oh, okay, that's good.
No. Do you think he
I'll
got...
I'll clean you up
do you
later.
Do you think he got it, like, upper?
No, definitely not.
He hadn't, had he? No, no. I think she was a virgin.
I do, as well.
An Asian virgin.
An Asian version.
They're worth more.
That you can pay in fake money, which is what this film is about. It's all about fake money. So it all ties together.
I thought it was about jam.
Yeah, but we'll get into that as well. There's a lot to get into. As obviously the sex scenes didn't.
I've nearly run out of biscuit.
Oh my God, we're going to have to do a biscuit run soon. pause the show for a biscuit run. One classic line from the main Interpol guy, when they find out about this fake money that's doing the round across the five ASEAN countries. It feels and smells like real money. Yeah. Now, I've got a good idea of what real money feels like. What does real money smell like?
Cocaine.
Because it's been rolled up.
Yeah, I read that in a book once. I'd like to say that kids don't take drugs.
Kids don't carry money, though.
No, they don't, do they?
So what's going to happen now?
I don't know. Money they does. Can't. Money did smell, though. Can't remember. It smells sort of metallic, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, we recently got back from Egypt and we were told that every time that we handled money there that we should wash our hands.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was going to say, yeah, because all them Arabs are really dirty. Oh, but you can't say
well,
that.
Well, that's our Egypt audience gone now, isn't it? Thanks for listening, Egypt.
Yeah, no, they're very clean, the Arab nation. Yeah, they're not like us. They only use this hand to wipe their bum. And not this one.
And the other hand to shake hands.
Shake hands, yeah. Well, it's true, it's true.
Yeah, it's
true. It's true, it's true.
He also says, as well as it feels and smells like real money.
Who does?
The main Interpol guy. That
yeah, what's
hires
his name?
Cleopatra.
What's his name?
I don't know his
Sim.
Name.
Sim, his name's Sim.
No, this is another guy as well.
There was more than one.
There was a lot of different guys in this. It gets very
they
confusing.
They all look the same. Did she really say that?
After what you said about like chinky eyes in the intro.
I never said chinky eyes. Oh.
I don't think there's any need for an edit anymore. A classic line is, that's the problem. It's too real to be fake.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, got a headache now.
Oh, God, you would do. So there's fake money floating around in five ASEAN countries.
And what are those ASEAN countries?
Well, Cleo goes from Manila, where she was having the dry hump shag.
That's one.
To Singapore.
Two.
And Hong Kong they go to.
Three.
And they go to no more. They go to three out of the five. The other two.
What are the other two?
Well, they couldn't give a fuck about the other two, could they?
Well, that's not on, is
no,
it?
They're only concerned about three out of the five.
No.
The music in it, let's touch on the music, because we did do Shazam a few times in it to find out a few songs, because you did say, oh, what's this song? And we looked.
Mm.
I did think quite a lot of the music did sound like it was from a 1970s sitcom, and it could have fitted in well with, like, Man About the House.
I could have... It could have, except for that one song that I'm sure Quentin Tarantino has used.
And you said Kill Bill.
I thought it was in Kill Bill. You slurred then. You had more to drink than me. You fucking...
I've got a small glass more
whatever. You've drunk more than me. See, even you have to get pissed to watch this shit, don't you?
I'm just... Yeah, whatever. Make me not feel out of place. Again, just wait until the next episode when I have to watch one of your arty films. So Cleo goes from Manila to Singapore.
I've always wanted to go to Singapore.
Me too.
Yeah, my dad was stationed there in the 1950s.
My dad went there in the RAF as well.
Yeah, my dad was in
the RAF. We should go then.
We should go. Is there anybody there from Singapore who could offer us a room and perhaps the flight money and food? And also, you gin. Know, like gin and some new dresses for me and some silk shirts for Dave. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You never know, it's worth a try. When she gets there, she deliberately gets arrested.
Who does?
Cleo.
Just checking you know what you're talking about.
For spending fake money, because that's her plan.
But what does she buy when she's in Manila? She goes and buys like
jewellery.
A lovely, precious watch, doesn't she? And how much is it?
It's...
26,000.
Oh, well done.
I would remember that, wouldn't I? Because it's jewellery.
Yeah, exactly. You would remember.
And it's fake money she buys it with.
Mm.
And the heavies come and get her and they bustle her off somewhere,
and
they
say, where did you get that money from?
And she goes... I don't know.
I did it working
in laundry.
She says,
you want chip all right with that? You like chow mein?
You want sore finger?
You want sore finger on
no,
your chips?
No, because she talks.
Stop it, Dave.
She talks in very clipped and British.
She's very British, yes. As are most of the cast.
Yes.
Like, Simms, well, he also
no,
talks
there's
like
a
that.
Big, there's a huge spectrum.
Well, that's
of,
only
of
later.
Which we'll get to that. So many things to get to, if we can remember. Probably won't do. So she gets arrested for fake money. The criminals who are dealing in the fake money bail her out and
yes.
go, where the hell did you get that fake money from?
Come on, do it properly.
Oh, no, we're going to get to that in a minute. We are. Because we do need to recreate one scene, definitely.
Well, literally, I haven't got a pair of trousers like that. I might have the platforms.
Oh.
I might have the orange pants.
You've definitely got the nun outfit, so we can get to that later
Shh.
On. So she escapes. She escapes from these hardcore criminals, right, who pick her up, who once they've bailed her out, pick her up, and this is how hardcore they are.
Yeah.
They pick her up in a Morris Minor.
Morris Minor.
Oh, I mean, if that doesn't say hardcore
criminal.
I mean,
when you really look at them, they look like a gang that hangs around outside the chip shop at the end of the road that look all hard and, like, say things like fucking hell, fucking wanker as you walk past, and you go, what did you say? And they literally shit their pants. That's
they
what they look like.
And then do the penguin walk away because they shit their pants.
Yeah, because they shit their pants.
And actually,
and then they call you a bully. You fucking bully! I'm telling me, mum!
Who does look like them, because she then gets, once the criminals have got her, they test her how hard she is.
Yeah,
because they give her a fight against. And this is something we brought up again. This is another callback to the introduction that we did when we knew nothing about the film. And we talked about Samurai Cop and the Black Speedos. She has to fight three old wrestlers, all of them who are wearing tight lycra trunks. One of whom has got the bowiest of bow legs.
And another thing you should mention as well is that the actual screen is so cut.
Oh, it's 4:3,
It's 4:3 when it should be
16:9 probably.
So you're missing
or
most 2:3, of the scene, aren't you?
Yeah.
So all you can see is one bow leg.
Just
one leg.
And half a ball.
Half a ball.
In tight spandex.
And they all look like they, you know, like they're really dirty, like they need a good wash, and that they would wait on you on a Saturday night when you'd had too much to drink and you were 19 and you were going for a night out in Wrexham, and they'd probably, like, you know, wank on your poppadoms because they didn't.
I never.
Because they didn't, like, that's what
I
happens.
I never had that experience in my teens.
There, well, not that you know of.
Well.
Not that you know of. But having looked at those very masculine wrestlers...
Like how you couldn't keep a straight face.
I'm surprised, actually, you didn't ask me if I found any of them attractive or needed to sit on a tissue.
Well, the fact that you went and got a towel and sat on it, I think...
I didn't sit on a towel, did I?
It was the one with the bow legs that
it was the
it,
one with the bow legs, yeah.
Yeah. He wore the tightest of all the pants, though,
he
didn't
did.
He?
Did you notice his... package by any chance, or was it just me?
It was just you.
Was it? It wasn't very big.
Wasn't it?
I had a good look at all three of them, actually, and one of them had quite a knobbly package.
Did she?
Mm.
Didn't like the oldest one who wore the black pants sort of had, which would come naturally with age and gravity, the sort of largest?
What do you mean?
Well, as you get older, gravity, you cannot fight gravity when you get older.
Yeah.
No matter how much you work out, there's certain parts of your body as a male that you can't.
What do you mean?
I mean, your balls get lower to the floor.
What,
so him with
what
the,
do you mean?
Well, with him in the black pants, he wore the baggiest of the pants.
Yeah. So he had really, like, do you mean they get big or they hang low?
No, they hang low. Gravity pulls on them.
Do they? All right. Let's have a look at yours. Go on, just let me have a look.
No, we'll save that for the video podcast.
All right, then.
Then she fights at least, I called 24, you called 30 martial artists.
Yeah.
Of which she fights a few, and then she escapes by jumping over...
Oh, it was amazing. It was like she was monkey.
It must have been a 20-foot wall. I thought she was like, you know, the...
She only does it once.
The bionic woman.
It was. You could imagine that noise.
Mm.
What, can you do the noise that the bionic man used to do?
It's like that, wasn't it?
Was that when he was looking at things through his eye?
Things, yeah.
What was
and
the,
that was when
he was jumping.
Stuff with his arm. That was the same. It was always the same.
No, it used to go like, boing, boing, boing. You're going to have to find it on YouTube and play it. No, because when he was looking at things, it went... And when... What was her name? The bionic woman.
Oh,
Lindsay Wagner
played it, and it was Jamie Summers.
Jamie Summers. When she used to do it, she used to go, well, it wasn't... It
well, was she
like,
had an ear.
It was like, wow, I can't make the noise. Dave will insert the noise here.
Or maybe he won't because he's too lazy at editing.
Yes, she will. You know you
We are not the Wilder Ride. We are not that professional.
No.
So they chase her. So she escapes. She jumps over and she meets her...
But did she beat the wrestlers? Because I think I was asleep by then.
No, she beat all three... She beat all three wrestlers and she beat, I don't know, half a dozen of the 30 martial artists.
Yeah, and then she knew she couldn't win against them.
Yeah, so she jumped, over the wall. And then...
Onto the moped.
Who a friend who earlier met her, who followed her at the airport.
She's her beard.
She probably was her beard.
Do you
a
think
female
they,
friend.
They like
her,
you know? Do well, you think she's...
maybe. That could have been a deleted scene.
Do you think so?
Maybe so.
The erotic stuff that she does.
But not only did... Because there's so many now bad guys.
Yeah.
They chased her, not only in the Morris Minor, but also in a Mark I Escort.
How the fuck did you notice that?
Because I grew up in the 70s and loved cars.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you. Well done on not smashing those glasses. So now follows one of many chases that happen throughout the film.
God, they were tedious.
It begins with this car chase of where there is a Mark I Escort and a Morris Minor chasing them as they're on the scooter. Which then moves into a cable car chase, which, let's be honest, a cable
chase. It's very James Bond, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but one cable car cannot catch another because they move at the same speed.
How did you know that? Did you just make that up?
No, because they're on a wire and one doesn't go faster
than
the other.
Yeah, but if you cut the wire, if you climb up on top of the car, You might crash into it if it's below
you.
You'd
crash, all right. It's not so much a chase, more of a plunge to your death.
Yeah, but if you were a superhero like she is and you can jump over walls, you just jump from one to another. Why didn't you do that?
Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. So we've gone from car chase. We've gone from car chase to cable car chase to foot chase, which...
Fuck chase?
Foot chase.
Foot chase.
Foot chase.
Did you say... Come on, ASEAN.
The ASEAN foot chase, which keeps stopping intermittently
for
fist fights.
Yeah, make the noise.
Each punch sounds exactly like a gunshot.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. And then, out of nowhere, Sims appears.
I think I passed out by now.
Stops the fight.
Does he? How does he stop the fight?
He says... Look, you chaps.
Does he point his finger like
stop
that?
Stop that fight.
That bloody fight because the Queen says so.
Because you're all being bloody naughty.
Bloody naughty. And Meghan Markle's just had a baby.
So then Cleo flies to another ASEAN country. She flies to Hong Kong.
What in?
And in a plane.
In a plane?
Yeah, in a plane.
Not a cable car.
No, not in a cable car this time.
Does she jump into it?
She gets in it. It's a norm. This is actually one of the
What outfit has she got on?
Well, she just wears some smashing outfits.
She has got several. You noticed that all the blouses in it
are smashing?
Are like this tangerine orange colour.
Some good jumpsuits.
Men and women. Well, she has a particularly nice jumpsuit and that's how she stops the wrestlers from fighting her, if you remember.
Oh, she rips off a jumpsuit.
She rips off his skirt, a la Cheryl Baker in Bucks Fizz.
Making your mind up.
Yes. Thought you'd like that.
Thank you. That would stop me too.
Stop you what? Wanking. Well, no, start you wanking.
If Cheryl Baker's in front of me ripping a skirt off, it would do.
Yeah. Cheryl Baker. Yeah. I've heard you at night, actually. Cheryl. Oh, Cheryl. Take your skirt off, Cheryl.
Well, I've met her and interviewed her.
Is that what you call
it? That's what I call it. I give her a right good interviewing.
I give her a right good interviewing. Oh, Cheryl, sing making your mind up.
Rip that skirt off.
Oh, you dirty bitch. Oh, go on. Ride me like it's the last Eurovision Song Contest. Sing it to me, Cheryl. But you gotta speed it up. Then you gotta slow it down. Is that what she did? You're making your mind up. Don't let your
oh my God.
What?
I can just picture the listeners hitting like double speed on their
podcast. I don't care. Of choice. I don't care.
I know.
They didn't pay for this gin, did they?
They
no.
didn't. No. No. We need our gin distributor or manufacturer to sponsor us. That's who can
do it. Nobody's going to give me gin, Dave. Are they? Come on. They gave you sausage rolls once, though, didn't they?
Definitely. The power of the internet.
Yes.
Gin people out there. Hello. So, she lands in Hong Kong and she meets her informant, who talks with a fucking Cockney accent.
I can't remember who that was.
Because that's how everyone in Hong Kong talks.
They all talk fucking like that.
Fucking hell.
Like Ben.
Ben doesn't talk with a... our fellow podcast co-host Ben does not talk with a
doesn't
Cockney
he?
Accent.
Is no. it Adam that talks like that?
Then? No, Adam's like Leeds way.
Oh, Adam talks like that then, does he? Because he's from up north. No. Hello, my name's Adam. And then Ben, yeah, I'm sure Ben talks like that. All right, apples and pears, doesn't he?
I'm pretty sure that Ben has never said apples and pears.
He said it to me more than once.
Has he?
He has. He sends me messages when you're not listening. All right, Tina, he says, fucking apples and pears. And then I'll message him back and say, hello, Ben. Did you just send me a message saying,
apples and pears?
Hello, Tina. Apples and fucking pears.
You're having a giraffe, aren't you?
You're having a giraffe? What is this nonsense you keep sending me on WhatsApp? And then he replies and starts singing, Love Stroke Romeo. I don't know what's happening.
So she oh my God. For anybody that's still listening, thank you very much.
My glass is nearly empty,
Dave.
I
can tell. I can see.
It's time to wrap it up.
Or choke to death.
Oh,
it's your choice. Well, let's clear the wax out of people's...
I just did a bit of a wee on the seat when I coughed. Well, I'm a lady of that age now. And you know, your wives, when they do a little cough, perhaps a little bit of urine seeps out. I've finished now, you may continue.
So she's landed in Hong Kong, just for anybody that still wants to know what happens in the film. And her informant tells her about the strawberry jam, because that's how the fake money is getting out and going to the five ASEAN countries.
Strawberry
jam. It's being
jam
rolled up and put into jars of strawberry jam
in
a place that we'll find out in a little bit. We don't know where yet, but that's how the fake money is getting around the world.
Is that slang in Cockney for something? Strawberry jam?
Maybe. I don't know what. The...
Ram. Strawberry jam. Having a... spam.
A bit of spam.
A bit of spam. No, because that's how Cockney rhyming slam works, isn't it?
Yeah, but a lot of the time it's like sort of three or four things removed. So it might
like
be...
what? Go on then, say one. Apples and pears.
Yeah, but that's a
stairs.
Having a giraffe, laugh. But then there's ones that it's, I don't know, it says something that rhymes with something that means something else.
Like what?
I don't know, because I'm not Cockney.
Cockney?
Cockney.
Can you just phone Ben up and ask him?
And we'll get him live on the show. So follows another foot chase and fight. This time, then, Cleopatra gets her own back on Sims, because at the start of the movie, he phones her up mid-shag. So she...
They're not shagging, though, are they?
Dry humping. She phones him up dry humping because he's got his dressing gown on.
It's good as, yes, but he may have his dressing gown on, but he might have his penis out.
He could, well, it depends how large.
And anyway,
his penis is. Maybe it's big enough to pop out of the top of his underwear. Maybe it isn't.
That's a revolting thought. Perhaps he was grubbling her.
He could have been. Maybe you should explain what grubbling is, because you've been reading Gentleman
Jack.
Jack.
About Anne Lister.
Yeah.
Yes, grubbling means Google it. It's very rude. It involves fingers and spit.
It does. Grubbler, actually, the Grubbler sounds like it could have been a 1970s sort of Cornish folk band that had a one-off hit in 1974.
Could have been, I bet they're Combine Harvester.
No, called a good old-fashioned fingering. Was there one? Their one
good old-fashioned fingering is what I like to do.
Yeah. One hand would be holding the rear.
Yeah.
And their other hand...
Of their arse.
No, would be holding a pint of scrumpy.
Well, somebody else would have to put the finger up their ass, wouldn't they?
And they'd be on about, I don't know,
having
and I do be taking a plunge into your clunge.
I don't think they used the word clunge
in the 70s.
In the 70s.
No, they probably didn't.
No, what was the name for vagina in the 70s, darling?
Fanny.
Has it always been Fanny? I don't think so.
It was.
I don't ever recall hearing my father talking to one of his grubby little workmates from the mine that he ever mentioned the word Fanny.
No, I think it was in the 70s. Anyway, back to the movie and away from grubbling. Maybe that's a word we should get into everybody's worldwide. Anybody that listens to us, I think their task for this week, whenever you listen to this, is get the word grubbling into a conversation.
It's a real word. Yeah, it's a real... Yeah.
Anyway, there's a shootout in the hotel.
From grubbling to a shootout.
From a shootout. There's a bit of a switch. And there's these guys, slow motion shootouts, and I think, is it this where it's the first appearance of blood? Now, there's loads of really good squibs, but there's not a lot of blood in the entire film, is there?
They make lots of funny noises as well. They sort of go, there's
a few good protracted deaths where people think, well, I'm going to be shot now. This is the last bit I'm going to be in the film. I'm going to make the most of it. And they really do make the most of their death scene. So Cleopatra then forms a killer team, of which her killer team consists of... George. That's a killer's name, if there was one.
Yeah.
George, who is a crack shot and a cold-blooded killer.
Oh, what did he look like?
I didn't write what they looked. You put one looked like a monkey, one had got bad acne. You did? One had got bad acne. You can. One had got bad acne.
I think George was the one in the canvas suit, like JR in Dallas, when he used to wear safari suits.
Dante, who is an aerialist and moves like a deadly panther.
He was the one that looked like a porn star.
He was the porn star one, yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, who was an explosive expert.
He was the one with acne.
And Ben, surprisingly enough, just talking about Ben. Ben, who is an agent that she can trust with her life.
Oh. A bit like our Ben, really.
A bit like our Ben, who we can trust with our life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks,
but not
Ben.
Our money, our booze, our drugs, our...
So she opens then her case of special equipment. Which includes a four-barrelled shotgun.
What a... that sort of looked okay until you actually saw her use it, and then it was as dumbass can be. Because instead of her shooting it like that, pow, and four bullets come out, two bullets come out, and then she has to turn the barrel around and then fire again to make two bullets. What's the point? You could just fire the gun twice, couldn't you? Fucking wanker.
But she can kill, as she does, two people at once.
No, she can't, Dave. No, they don't go... No, no.
So now we see, because the main place that this strawberry jam is being made is at this Catholic monastery full of nuns.
Darling, listen, there is no other monastery except a Catholic.
Well, but I need to explain that's what they said in the film. So all the real nuns have been kept prisoner below ground.
Yeah.
So now... You've got a load of men dressed up as nuns who have taken over the place.
You can't really tell the difference between real nuns and men dressed as nuns, though, from my experience.
Even when you see in this, when you do see female nuns who are wearing platform heels.
No nuns would wear platform heels. But most nuns have got beards and moustaches and a lot of body hair.
All over, like a werewolf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I still have nightmares about Sister Beatrice looming over me. She had a mole here, just there.
She could have been Cleopatra Jones.
She had massive hairs coming out of it. And she had these really pale blue eyes. And she used to talk like that. Like she was one of Monty Python. Really, she did. But yeah, she was really hairy.
We should explain that you were taught by nuns as well. For anybody that doesn't know.
Yeah, I think everybody knows about me and the nuns by now, don't they? Yeah.
But did you have, so then appears at this Catholic monastery, sort of the main...
Was it Jesus?
Close to him. The main guy, the main monk, who was an Irish monk.
Come on now, you can do an Irish accent.
Oh, no.
Come on.
I can't do an Irish accent.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
You can.
No.
What did he say?
I don't know.
He said, well, you're not making the jam to my specifications. You wee fuckers. Yeah, it was quite an eclectic group of criminal at the rooftop monastery.
We're almost getting to the criminal table. Almost getting there. Because Cleo and her gang, one of who was wearing, and obviously a big thing during the 70s, maybe into the 80s, was double denim. One was wearing double corduroy.
Oh, and it was such a lovely rust colour as well.
Oh, it's proper 70s.
Went really nice with his tangerine blouse.
Well, I would call it 70s beige.
What, the actual suit? It was brown.
Yeah, but 70s were like full of...
Have you ever had like a corduroy pair of trousers and jacket?
No. I did have double denim in the 70s, though.
Oh, well, you may think that was double denim, but it wasn't sort of... I mean, conjure up, if you will, listener, a picture of David during the 80s in his double denim.
No, where... 70s was double denim.
Oh, the 70s.
Because I was Steve Austin.
Oh, were you talking when you were a little boy now, not when you were a firm young man?
Well,
where
70s.
You used to wear those very tight...
The 70s covered
really
me.
Really tight. So tight, those jeans, but they were so tight.
That was 80s.
Yeah, no.
70s covered me from being 5 to 15.
You would have been...
80s was...
80s was balls out, wasn't it?
Well, not out. I didn't walk around town with my...
Well, actually, Dave, yes, they were. Everybody could see them and you didn't care. They were so tight, those trousers. I've seen pictures of you.
Have you?
They're really tight.
It was the 80s.
They were so tight.
I wore
tight.
Leggings.
How did you breathe?
Short, shallow breaths.
Was it uncomfortable? Did you have to...
No, those stretched jeans.
Did you used to, walk and your balls would rub together? Or, did they go up inside you?
Because you had both to one side. Men dress to one side.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't put one bollock either side of your jeans.
Yeah, but like I said, I've seen pictures of you. And you just look at these pictures and there it is, cock and balls. You can see it. Why do you think I went out with you, Dave?
Because of those pictures of my cock and balls.
Exactly. Oh. Massive.
So
what?
Now we get on
biggest
to
balls I've won.
That's age. Told you. Gravity has its advantages as you get older. So now we get on to the bad guys with the Irish monk.
It's fucking Irish. Say it properly.
And he meets. So there's this big meeting of all the bad guys at the
bottom
of
the
monastery.
Yeah, it's like the mafia now, isn't it?
Now
round the table.
This is the bit when there are so many different acts. It's hilarious. Even I thought it was funny.
We couldn't keep count of them.
We couldn't. I think this is the point where we should try to just give the listeners a flavour of what that scene was like around the table.
Yes.
So, of course, you've got the Irish. Do you want to begin with the Irish head, and then we'll take it in turns to sort of beat people around the table?
Right then, you fucking bastards. Why haven't you made enough fucking jam to put the fucking money in? I'm going to fucking kill the fucking lot of you. Yes.
Right then, you fucking cunt. What I said, this fucking strawberry jam, I said it should have been blackcurrant.
Shut up, you stupid bastard. What have you got to say, Giuseppe?
And Giuseppe, even though he's got an Irish name, would probably have replied...
No, he's got an Italian accent.
Had he? Go on then, what did he say?
He said, oh, I'm sorry that the jam isn't coming out as fast as it should be.
And then Antonio replied in an accent that you weren't expecting of, I do declare, I believe that the jam that we do be making in this here monastery be fine jam indeed.
And then somebody else pipes up and goes, yes, and we've broken the bank in Manila, haven't we?
And then out of the blue comes this Scouse guy going, fucking hell, where's the fucking chicken? how bizarre that scene was.
I've never seen an ASEAN film with a Liverpudlian accent in it before.
No, there's so many accents.
It was amazing. And he was actually wearing a tracksuit as well, wasn't he?
And had a tash.
He had a moustache. So, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. And then went off and nicked something. That's our Liverpool audience gone.
Sorry, everybody who lives in Liverpool.
That's it. We've lost the Egyptians. We've lost the Liverpool. We've lost...
Slanty-eyed lot.
Does anybody still listen to us at this point? No.
Oh, I'm drunk. That's my
25
excuse.
Months waiting
25
and we've
million
lost
people.
Our entire audience.
Oh, God. We're going to be all over the Daily Mail tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Podcast is... banned from the airwaves.
Offensive podcast gets banned. Then we come to what you've got to admit, the final 25 minutes is a full-on bonkers action scene.
Oh, I was going to say the last 25 minutes is a complete blank. I think I sort of slump down the sofa by
now. Cleopatra is dressed as a nun and has infiltrated
the monastery.
Do you
think she made a sexy nun? Did you quite like her dressed as a nun? Bearing in mind that she was 17 when she made this film.
Yeah, and the film was made, because this has got a couple of extras on the DVD as well, the film was made for $17,000.
70.
17.
No, it was 70. You pissed.
No, it's 17. You're pissed.
You're pissed.
Right.
It was 70.
Listeners, the first one that wants to check this and say, who's the most pissed?
Yeah.
Check if it was 17 or 70.
It was 70.
17.
It was 70.
So she meets a guy dressed as a nun. She meets a guy with a moustache dressed as a nun.
Yes.
Who says to her, so you're a fake nun. Mm. Says the guy with a moustache.
Yeah.
Dressed as a nun.
Yeah.
There's lots of both the good guys and the bad guys during this final fight running with guns and slipping over and falling onto their arse, of which one does... And when one does do that, another person says to them, you look like a monkey lying down there, of which you made me write down and want to comment on. So over to you, Tina. What did you want me to write that down?
I would like to say that you shouldn't call people monkeys. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's not big. It's not funny. And it's not big. It's not funny or big.
Or monkeyish.
Or monkeyish.
Good.
And I didn't think he looked like a monkey. I thought he looked like a poor ASEAN who'd fallen on
A poor ASEAN porn star.
Poor ASEAN porn star who'd fallen on his bottom who needed assistance. And perhaps some morphine for the pain.
Another thing you wanted me to write down, because there's a load of killing. Somebody gets shot from a big distance away. This guy shoots another guy.
Yeah.
Then, obviously the guy falls down, he's dead. Yeah. The guy that shot him goes, gauzes on him.
What does that mean? What's a gauze? Don't tell me it's disgusting. Is it like...
A gauze is a spit.
No!
No, right, so a gauze...
No,
no, no, you started.
Please don't.
A gauze is just spitting. If you did the whole...
Oh, no!
And then brought...
No, don't! And brought it. I will throw up on you if you say any more. Dave. No.
If you bring it from the nose, it's a flob. He didn't flob on it.
Have you finished?
Yes. At least
it's not very nice spitting on somebody that's shooting them
but he's in
the head and then going.
He's about 60 feet away.
Have you ever spat on anybody? Don't answer that, it could be rude. Do you remember in the old days when you were a sailor? Did you used to spit on the person in the next bunk to you when you were playing that game that you used to play? What was it called? Oh, I know, Rum Sodomy in the Lash.
Mr. Wobbly Hides His Helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they were good old days, weren't they?
Oh. So, Cleopatra...
Yeah, who's covered in spit.
Who hasn't been spit on, or flobbed or gauzed,
oh!
gets on her super bike, which is an amazing motorcycle.
Evel Knievel.
It is like Evel. It's like got
where did the bike come from? And where did she, was she hiding that helmet all along?
Well, she puts she puts a helmet on.
Where was it hidden?
I don't know.
Why don't you know? Where was the helmet? Was it up her bottom?
Maybe so.
Was it in her bag?
Sure, it's not the first helmet she's had up her bottom. So it could well be there. All the sex scenes that he saw with her.
David, she never took her pants off once.
Well, they could have been crotchless panties.
What are them?
Panties with no crotch.
That's rude.
Yes.
What do you do when you've got a period if you've got crotch?
Oh my God. And you go on about me gozzing and flobbing.
But yeah, that's a natural thing, isn't it? A lady menstruating.
So is flobbing.
No, it's not. Don't say it. It's horrible.
So she gets on her super bike. This is the scene that, again, coming back to when we talked about before we watched the trailer. After we watched the trailer. With the three arrows. Rambo-esque, the three arrows with like...
Oh, they were shit though, weren't they?
No, but she blows up a helicopter.
Yeah, but she gets out like a bow and it looks incredible, doesn't it? She's standing there looking all sexy like a superhero and the three arrows in the bow and that, and she goes to fire them. And it's literally all that build-up for one tiny explosion.
But the Irish monk.
The what?
Irish. Irish.
The
Irish.
Have you had a stroke?
I'm going to go to Tito from Toxifauna. I'm so the Irish monk.
That's better. It's not like that, dude, but it's an Irish one. Are you making fun of me?
Before.
Are you making fun of me because my mother's Irish?
No.
Just because I could do the accent and you can't because my mother really can do it.
So before she fires the three explosive arrows at the helicopter, which blows it up, the Irish monk, the head of the jam fake money gang,
the strawberry jam fake money factory. Do you know one thing, just before you carry on, did you ever notice once a strawberry ever in it? Neither did I. Not one strawberry anywhere.
We did see a little bit of jam.
That wasn't jam, it looked like gloop. It wasn't even red, it was black.
Mm-mm.
When she was pouring it in the jar.
It was pretty bad. so he runs out of the helicopter, she blows the helicopter up. So all that's left, and this is the end of the movie now, there's her...
End battle.
End battle. Oh, Cleopatra and the bad guy. Bit of an unfair fist fight, considering that Cleopatra's still wearing a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
Bit unfair. She's going for punches to the face, and if he does that, all he's going to do is break his knuckles.
Yeah, but he deserves it, really, doesn't he?
And so obviously she wins because she's wearing a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
And end of film.
And it just sort of ends, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then you nudge me, and I go.
And you go, what? What? What happened? What?
The jam? What about the jam? Yeah. Yeah. So Mark's out of 10, Dave. What did you think of this amazing...
Well, considering it sits proudly on my shelves, it's...
Proudly?
Any film that sits on my shelves is always a 10, so that's a 10.
It's always a 10?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I don't know what to say, really, except... God, what a pile of shit. How long was it? An hour and a half?
Hold on, I don't know if the running time's on the back of... It is 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Yeah.
Another fucking 90 minutes of my life you've taken from me that I will never get back.
And now, seeing as the format has changed slightly, and the next episode, which hopefully will be another 25 months from now...
No, it won't. It'll be next
I'm going to have to sit through some arty-farty bollocks.
You do realise that the sort of films that I like are normally over 2 hours long.
Oh, my God.
And we won't be drinking either.
It's not going to be sponsored by gin. It's going to be sponsored by Pochin or something that's 100% proof to get me through that.
Absinthe to make you hallucinate.
Yes, those episodes.
Hey, that's a thought. Maybe we should watch one of my films and have some LSD. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? You're not going to put this out, are you? You're going to cut this bit, aren't you?
No.
Imagine if we were like hallucinating and watching a David Lynch film. Fuck. Let's do it.
No.
Don't tell anybody, okay?
No.
Should we all do it together?
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh. I'm scared enough having to do watching the...
I'm not going to pick David Lynch. It's going to be far more artistic and foreign than that. But before we go, I have to say a huge thank you to Chris Jellyman.
Yeah, well, Chris, obviously, fellow host on the show.
And most handsome man alive.
And who has, in a WhatsApp message, promised you at least four orgasms. For a prize.
Yeah, how much did he want?
£100 an orgasm.
He must be fucking good at it. Well, what do you think he does? Do you think he does grubbling and licky licks?
I think he's pretty good at grubbling.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I've seen his hands.
He did request an SOS show for quite a while. And you especially, were sent what can only be
lovely
described...
Lovely presents.
I would call it a bribe from Frederick in Sweden.
Frederick and Anna, thank you so much for the chocolate you sent me. Frederick, today, as we record, I told him that we were going to record today. And he said, oh, the chocolate will get you through. Frederick, I ate that chocolate the day it came.
She did. As well.
Months ago. It didn't last more than 20 minutes. chocolate with licorice bits in from Sweden. It's now, very good.
So what can I request before I record the next SOS show?
Yeah, but nobody will send you anything because everybody hates you.
Does somebody want to send me something?
What would they send you? What would you possibly want? That you'd be like, ew, I've got to watch a horrible film that's really good, that's like won loads of awards and everybody loves because they've got brains. Ew, send me a present or I won't do it. And then people will go, oh, Dave of the Velvet Voice, what would you like that would persuade you and ease your torment? And you would say, oh, blowjob of Sylvester Stallone.
Or failing that, is underpants.
His underpants that he can put across my eyes and sniff his crotch. I mean, if it's not, I mean, what on earth could you possibly want that would ease your pain?
I don't know. Easily bribed, I guess.
Packet of crisps.
Something.
Packet of crisps and...
American snacks. Any American listeners? Oh, American snacks.
Like what?
I don't know, anything.
Well, like...
Everything in America's
popcorn.
Great. So, I don't know.
Jerry's American. He's not great. Mm. He doesn't listen to this, does he?
No.
Jerry Gellif.
Yeah.
From Reading in Pennsylvania.
Bad cop.
Yeah.
Which may well be returning.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be ace if they came back?
Wouldn't it be good?
I could totally take the piss out of Dave again.
Yeah. To finish the show.
Professional.
Yeah, of course, because we always are
professional. You? Are we?
Well,
you might be. Well, I'm not.
I'm not, because I don't...
Didn't somebody call me a potty mouth earlier today?
Because you were on the Wilder Ride and were rude. Naughty.
If I wasn't rude, people would be, like, disappointed, though, weren't they? And I don't even think about it. It just comes out of my mouth.
They were. So, I could make a rude comment, but I won't, because I'm not rude.
Go on.
So, no.
No, do it.
No.
Go on, be rude.
No.
Be rude.
No.
Be rude.
No. I'm not going to say bad things going into your mouth instead of out of them instead, because that would be too rude. So our website, 60minuteswith.co.uk, has undergone a facelift. If you haven't visited there recently, do go and have a look.
Yes.
So, because our webmaster, Michael Oglesby, has done an amazing job.
Absolutely amazing.
It does look really good.
So good. Yeah, and the other thing is something that whenever I'm on a show, which is quite rare really, because they don't let me on the Sausage Factory.
Because it costs too much in gin.
If you're an old listener.
If you're an old listener,
a new listener, or you don't really give a shit, it's a pain in the arse signing into iTunes to leave a review.
Actually.
But it'd be really great if you left us a review, because reviews get us seen by more people. We don't make any money from doing this. We literally...
It does cost us money,
and we don't mind, because it's a fantastic hobby and all of us are agreed on that. We'd never join Patreon or anything like that. You know, we sort of... You know, but if you did want to leave us a review, that would be so wonderful. And Dave would... What would you do, Dave?
Giggle uncontrollably.
Like that.
News did come out today as we record that Apple are going to release a new app. They're dropping iTunes. It's going to be completely rebranded as Apple Podcasts.
Oh, wow.
A new app is going to come out on the Mac and everywhere that's going to replace iTunes.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be more user-friendly. It's going to reflect more like... podcast addict that we use
to
listen to podcasts. Yeah. It's going to be like that. So it's going to be more user friendly. So I did say, hopefully, it's going to be easier for people to leave reviews.
When's that happening?
Over the next few months. Mm-hmm. So, because I do know it's really difficult to. And a pain in the arse if people want to leave a review on iTunes.
I can never sign in.
Yeah, I know. There's an email that I'm going to read out on the next entertainment show that we've had from a listener, and which is really nice, and how they wanted to leave a review on iTunes, but they couldn't. And I've done that with podcasts that I listen to and want to leave a review. And it's so difficult to do, and a pain in the arse, and things crash and this, that and the other. So I'm hoping that the new app that they put out will make everything a lot easier. But in the meantime, if you want to send us an email, Joe,
we love getting emails.
Craig did, which I'm going to read out on the next entertainment show.
Hello, Craig.
Go to our website, 60minuteswith.co.uk. There are all news and reviews on there. All the podcasts are on there.
Pictures of Chris.
Naked pictures of Chris that he doesn't know about. Shh, don't tell him. It's under 60minuteswith.com/Chris's Widge. There is a contact us form on there where you can email us, or you can email us direct, contact@60minuteswith.co.uk. We're on Twitter @60minuteswith. That is where we have all our competitions. We just finished another one where we gave away 3 Blu-rays. There's always lots of stuff going on there. We're on Instagram @60minuteswith. That's where all the weird and wonderful stuff goes on. Today, when Theresa May announced her retirement, we did put a video up on there of a bit that most people didn't see when she announced at the very end that was cut from the BBC broadcast.
Yeah, it was amazing.
About her missing us recording.
Yeah.
So
she's a big fan of yours, Theresa.
So there's good reasons for you to bookmark our website, follow us on Twitter, and follow us on Instagram. Look at all the stuff that we do on there. So then when we return in... it probably is going to be over 25 months now because it's going to be your arty farty film and I'm going to suffer. So I'm in no rush to record that.
Right, so we'll be back in about a month, I would say.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, shut up. You know you love it, really. You love sitting in this confined space with me sweating your balls off, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah.
Give me a kiss.
No.
Give us a kiss.
Right, shall we go now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye!
Bye!